I'm mindful in a series like this that the messages go together. And so if you miss one or more of them, it may seem out of place, the message that you're currently sitting under. So I wanted to do a little bit of a review to track us through where we've been in this series and also to eventually track where we're heading. We began this series by looking at a text where Jesus approaches four men on a beach that would eventually become his disciples. And on that beach, Jesus shared with them his agenda, the mission that he had for them. And it was something that I think would surprise us, because he doesn't promise at first to make them better men. He doesn't promise to give them stronger moral grounding. Instead, Jesus says, "Come with me, because I want to help you fish for men. I want to make you fishers of people," was the call of Jesus to his first disciples. And so we recognize almost 2,000 years later that the same agenda Jesus gave to those men on a beach rests with us. The same calling to share the story, to pass on the message, to fish for people. Why do Christians do this? Why can't we just leave well enough alone? Why do we feel that we have to meddle with what other people believe? Can't we just leave them alone with their thing, and we come here Sunday by Sunday and do our thing? Besides the call of Jesus to those men on the beach, why do we feel so compelled to share the story in a world that largely doesn't want to hear from us? We learned in week two of this series that we need to tell the story, because the story would never be received if it were not told. What we mean is that the gospel, the way of salvation, is not intuitive. It's not self-evident. I can't go for a walk in the park. I can't look up at the stars at night and come to an understanding of how I am made right with God. These things cannot be discovered by observing the world around us. The way of salvation is grounded in an event. An event that is rooted in history. That God became man in Jesus Christ. That Jesus was crucified for our sins, and that all who trust in him receive eternal life. This is a historical event. And so the story needs to be repeated. It needs to be shared with those with whom we share this world. But we're reluctant, aren't we? We're not out shouting on our rooftops. We don't go into work on Monday morning with leaflets about how to become a Christian. We're nervous about sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. And I think we take some comfort in the fact that we're all in the same boat. We're all gripped by a similar fear. A fear that our relationships will be fractured if we share the message. That there will be an awkward twist to a relationship if we share. We're anxious about rejection. We're anxious about offending someone that we love deeply. So how do we overcome this fear? We looked last week at the need to pray. The need to have the Lord overcome our fear. And so we listened and we watched and observed the early disciples pray, "Lord, enable us to speak your word with boldness." If you ever want to observe what someone's worried about or what someone's anxious about, look at their prayer. The early disciples were nervous. Proclaiming Christ meant imprisonment. Proclaiming Christ for many of them meant execution. They were scared, gripped by the fear that grips us. But they overcame that fear by praying, "Lord, Enable us to deliver your word with boldness. Well, this morning I'd like us to note that not only do we need God's help as we fish for people, but we are in desperate need of one another's help. That there is a sense in which we are collectively and corporately responsible for fishing. In other words, fishing for people is not a solo mission. We ought not to ever think that the salvation of another rests in us alone. Because Jesus didn't call a fishing partner. He didn't call a single individual, but Jesus called a group. And that group of men called others, and they formed the early church. And as we read the New Testament, in particular the book of Acts, we come to the conclusion that Christianity is a team sport. Christianity is a team sport that works best when we lean on one another, trust one another, and employ the resources and the knowledge of one another. Our gifts and our talents, our personalities are diverse, but we all have the same mission. We've all been called to fish for people. And we can do this best when we lean on one another. Here's the scenario I see. If I'm called to fish for people, and you're called to fish for people, and we're fishing in the same vicinity, well, that makes us fishing buddies. And I'm not trying to be clever, but this is in essence what we have. That the church exists as a group of fishing buddies. You could say that St. Giles Kingsway is a collection of fishing buddies. And that our lake, our hot spot, if you will, is Central Etobicoke. And so we gather here to encourage one another, to build up one another, to equip one another, to help one another to fish. So often we think about coming here and gaining inspiration for our individual lives. So often we think of coming here and hoping that we'll leave feeling more spiritual or more committed or more determined to become like Jesus. And all of those are good things. But we must remember the agenda first articulated to the disciples. Jesus wants us to fish for people. So there is a real sense that one of the primary things, not peripheral things, but primary things we focus on when we gather week by week is that we help each other fish for people. I realize it has become commonplace, and I don't know when it became commonplace, probably many generations ago, to talk about going to church. And I must confess that in our own home, we talk about it. Oh, I'm going to church. Anya says, where are you going? I'm going to the church. So I admit to saying this, but the reality given to us in the New Testament is this. Church is not so much a place that you go. Church is something you are. Look at how Jesus talked about the church. He always was referring to people. Look at the way the early church talked about themselves. It was not so much a place they went. The church was something they are. We're a group of fishing buddies. We're a group of folks with a similar mission to fish for people. But I think you know that I fish a little bit, and here's what I've observed. Fishing buddies can distract one another. Because fishing buddies enjoy being around one another, and they get distracted drinking their beverages and telling their stories. And those groups of fishing buddies don't catch very many fish. because they're distracted. They're so into their own fellowship and their own company that they've forgotten what has occasioned their gathering. Now, some will say they've gathered to drink beverages and to tell stories. But when I fish, I gather to catch fish. And so often the church can drift into this same difficulty where we forget that we're gathered here to be equipped for the mission. We get so caught up in our fellowship. We get so caught up in enjoying one another's company that our own holy fellowship can become a distraction for the mission. And when our fellowship becomes primary, the mission becomes secondary. So I'd like to return you for a few moments to the passage of Scripture you've heard read, and I'll give you the briefer version, just verses 15 through 18. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." If you were to ask me on any given day, Bryn, what is the most encouraging verses in all of Scripture for you as a pastor, I would point you to Matthew 16:18. Because Jesus says something that every pastor, every Christian should long to hear. Jesus says, "I will build my church." Jesus guarantees the success of the mission. Jesus promises that the mission will be perpetuated generation after generation. And I infer from this that the call of Jesus on my life and the call of Jesus on your life is not results driven. It's not results driven, but it's effort driven. Because Jesus isn't counting on you and I to build his church. That's Jesus' job. He builds the church. Well, then what do we do? If we're not to build the church, what are we here for? We're here to fish. We're here to drop a line. We're here to get together as a group. We're here to help one another fish. But again, Jesus didn't say, "I'm here to make you hunters of men." You're not to grab people by the scruff of the neck and drag them into the kingdom. There is a will involved. There is a choice involved. There is a dialogue that takes place. And we cannot force people to believe what we believe. Jesus says, "Leave it up to me to change their heart. Leave it up to me to change their worldview." Your job's to fish. Your job's just to tell the story. Your job's just to make sure that everyone knows that God became man and that Jesus Christ was crucified for us. Just drop the line. Go fish. So why do we need one another? Why do we need fishing buddies? Why isn't this a solo effort? Why is this a team sport? I would put before you this morning that fishing for people is too important. Fishing for people is too challenging to be left to the individual. We should not do this alone, but we should rely upon one another and our strengths to fish as a group. And if I can just give you a brief illustration, because here Jesus makes the illustration between real fishing and fishing for people, so I'll do the same. Up at my cottage, we're on a small lake, Horseshoe Lake, near Charbot Lake, and it's a small lake. It never has any waves. I fish in a canoe. It's very calm. and I often fish alone. It's a solo effort by Bryn McPhail, and I do quite fine because the conditions are peaceful, the conditions are tame. But I've also gone fishing in the deep sea. I've gone fishing in the middle of the ocean. And the conditions there are very, very different. And my understanding is that if you go fishing in the middle of the ocean for any length of time, this is not something you would do on your own. But you would always have a partner. You would probably even have a team of people. And the fish that you catch in Horseshoe Lake are markedly smaller than the ones I've found in the Atlantic Ocean. I've never brought in a marlin or a swordfish, but I gather it takes a team to bring in these large fish. I have gone tuna fishing, and one thing I learned about tuna fishing is that they travel and feed in schools. And so what happens is if you put 6 or 7 lines in the water, all with spoons or lures, you will get all 7 hit. Potentially at the same time. Well, if you're 1 or 2 people, this is a disaster. You're going to lose a fishing rod. You're definitely not going to bring in all 7 of the fish. You need a well-coordinated team to bring in the fish that you're seeking after. I remember I was on a particular trip just off the coast of Grand Bahama. And I was with friends who happened to like to drink the beverages and to share the stories. And they were entirely caught off guard by 6 or 7 tuna hitting our lines. And it was just a mess. We were bumping into one another and we were crossing over one another and lines got tangled. Other lines had to get cut and fish got away. We got a couple, but some got away because we weren't ready. We weren't coordinated. We weren't working together. And so our fish count was diminished. So this morning, I want to give you just a few practical tips. As fishing buddies, as fellow fishermen, a few tips to help you as you commit yourself to fulfilling Jesus' agenda in fishing for people. The first tip is this. Share your experiences, share your situation with your fishing buddies. You have people likely in this congregation that you're close to. Tell them about that person, that son, that daughter, that neighbor, that coworker, that grandchild, that person in your life that you want to tell the story to, but you're afraid. To share that experience with a friend, because it is more than likely they've had that same experience and they will be a source of encouragement and they will balance your perspective. I think of those times I'm fishing and I'm always the guy who's the last one to catch a fish. So I'm the annoying guy. My friend brings in a fish. What were you using? What do you have on that line? And then my neighbor over here catches a fish. What do you use? I'm always the one doing research because I need them to impart to me the knowledge they have so that I can catch some real fish. And we benefit from one another when we share these stories, that we go beyond talking about how beautiful a day it is outside, and I'm thrilled about that. But that when we take our friendships to another level and we talk about the mission, we talk about the reason we became members and adherents here in the first place. Share your situation with one another. Invite one another over for coffee, for tea. Go out for lunch together and talk about the mission. Secondly, not only should we be sharing our experiences, but we should be praying for our fishing buddies. We should be, in our own prayer time, thinking of those who've shared their experiences with us and lifting those individuals up in prayer. Well, how would we do that? What would that prayer look like? Well, remember our homework from last week? How we were to pray ourselves? Last week we borrowed the apostles' prayer and we prayed, Lord, help me to speak your message with boldness. Help me to speak your message with boldness. So if we're praying for our fishing buddy, if we're praying for a fellow Christian, just sub out the words. Lord, help my friend to speak the word of God with boldness. Just sub out your name with their name. Share your experiences with one another. Pray for one another. And thirdly, leverage the larger gathering. Leverage the larger gathering. What I mean by that is bring your friend, colleague, family member, bring them to St. Giles Kingsway. Because if you're feeling tongue-tied with a particular person, if you're feeling that you might not get the story out in the way that you want to, you have the ability to bring them to a place where they will hear the story. That God is nearby. That God became one of us in Jesus. That Jesus wanted to reconcile us to the Heavenly Father, so He died on a cross for our sins. And that all who receive Him gain eternal life. Leverage the larger gathering and invite your friends, your neighbors, your family members to this place. Next Sunday, I want us to look at this message that we're called to deliver. And I think, in my experience, as I talk to friends who don't call themselves Christians, and I ask them, what is it about Christianity that you reject? I would say 90% of the time, when they tell me why they've rejected Christianity, 90% of the time, the answer has nothing to do with the gospel. They haven't rejected Christianity. They've rejected some distortion of Christianity. They've rejected some far-off theory. They've rejected because of the hypocrisy of someone. They've rejected for some other reason than the story itself. And so as a church, as a group of fishing buddies, next Sunday, I want us to look at this very, very simple story that we're called to tell. Because I think folks are not rejecting us. They're not rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting His story. But they're rejecting a poor imitation. So far, we've talked about why we fish. We fish because Jesus told us to. We fish because the story isn't self-evident, but it's rooted in history. For the last Sunday and this Sunday, we're talking about how. We've moved from why to how. We pray. We tell the story. We gather as a group. We build one another up. We share experiences. We pray for one another. Next week, I'm very excited to dig into the heart of this series, to talk about the what. At its very core, what do we need to say? What does Jesus want us to say when we have that conversation with our loved ones? And we're also going to touch on next Sunday what we don't need to communicate. We don't need to get in a debate about creationism versus evolution. We don't need to decode the book of Revelation and all of its symbols and metaphors. There's so much that we can leave behind for another day. The gospel message is simple. And that's where I want us to focus next Sunday. But today, as you head home, tomorrow as you head to work or to school, or to your social sphere of influence, I want you to remember that you don't need to fish alone. That no single person's salvation rests with you. Fishing for people is a team sport. And your church can help. Your church should help. And I hope you'll remember what Jesus has said. that Jesus didn't call us to build his church. He said, I'll build the church. You just go fish. Jesus guarantees the success of the mission. That doesn't mean everyone will believe. That doesn't mean you'll always bring in a catch. But it means that the overall trajectory of the Christian movement will be one of growth. Progress is promised. But to experience this progress, we do have to fish. It's like that old proverb that you've probably heard, the man who prays that he would win the lottery. He prays day after day, week after week, Lord, here's what I'd do with the money. I'd be so careful and generous with this. Just help me to win the lottery. And in this mythical proverb, the Lord speaks to the man and he says, you're going to have to meet me halfway. Please go and buy a ticket. And there is a sense in which we expect the church to grow, but we're not universally willing to fish. And the two go hand in hand. We tell the story, and Jesus builds his church. You don't have to fish alone. And you have in your possession something very compelling. If you have come to understand and accept the gospel story, you have in your possession the most compelling, life-transforming message in the universe. It's precious. It's compelling. It's eternally helpful. And so I urge you this morning, grab a buddy or two and go fishing for people. Amen.